Hi everyone, it's Gavin Jane. You're listening to the Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I'm joined by Kish Modazia, who's a mindfulness coach who advises people on techniques in order to become more calm, reduce stress, and help gain clarity of thought. Kish, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, Gavin, and thank you for having me on the show.
No problem. I think our listeners would love to hear a bit more about you and your background and how you got into mindfulness coaching.
Okay. So my background is, I always say, in a previous life, I was a computer programmer, believe it or not. In prehistoric times, before we had computers or mobile phones.
Oh.
So in 1988, I was the first home worker for British Telecom as well.
Ah, I was reading about that about you. You were kind of the first, like, kind of trialing it. You piloted it. Is that right?
Well, yeah, I think I just wanted 10 hours extra with my kids. That was my real reason for wanting it. But hey, there we go. Did I know I was a trailblazer at the time? No, not at all. But yeah, it did pave the way for a lot of things. And as we know, especially now in COVID.
Oh, Kish, I think
everybody's working from home.
Absolutely. I think it's fantastic what you've done, because I started actually working in social services. We were able to work from home like 5-6 years ago. And I know a lot of people that I spoke to found it really helpful. And just like you said, it helped with raising the family, the children. They could go pick the children up from school, come back and, you know, work from home, made it a lot easier. Thank you very much. Yeah.
And I was just going to carry on a bit more, because the background is that actually it's through BT that I came into coaching and became a professional coach, and then got into mindfulness a few years ago.
How did the link happen there between BT and mindfulness coaching? How did that happen?
Gosh, yeah. Now, the coaching actually was they trained about 42 of us to become professional coaches.
Right.
So I'd been coaching for a while. The mindfulness actually was something I'd never really seen in myself. It was a fellow coach from Sweden. We got together at her apartment in Spain to think about how could we work together. And, of course, we were having a great time, not really thinking about work, because, you know, we were in Spain by the sea having a lovely time. Mm-hmm. And when we sat down, she said to me, I know what you can do. You can teach mindfulness. And I was like, I've never heard such a load of rubbish in all my life. And she was like, mindfulness. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And she said, I've watched you. I've observed you the whole week. You meditate, you stop before your food. You're always out looking at nature and trees and all of that stuff. You need to share this with other people. At which point, actually, Gavin, she struck something in me, because I was crying. I was like,
oh,
no. Yeah.
So really deep, very deep, isn't it? Very deep.
Yeah, it touched me really, really, really deeply.
Your soul.
Yeah. And so then I said, I don't want to discuss it anymore. And we left it. And then the next day we were at the airport going our either ways. And she said, I'm going to Stockholm and I'm advertising a mindfulness workshop. You're going home and you're writing the content for that workshop and you're going to come and deliver it.
Gosh. She really put it on you, didn't she?
She really did. And so I kind of sat down and I just put stuff together from all. I've been in lots of spaces to learn about meditation and connecting to the soul and all of those kind of things. And I just put all of these bits together and created my own course. And initially I started just having people come home to do the course. And people would come and do the workshop. First time I got 5 people, sometimes I got 1 person, next time I got 10 people. And from there, it just grew. The next thing I knew was I'd been asked to speak at conferences. Organizations were asking me to deliver it in their organizations. And it just grew organically. So it felt like I obviously was doing the work I was meant to be doing, because there was a lot of positive kind of messages coming through about how it was working.
And it sounds like you're proven and tested, because you was already doing it. It's like your friend said in Spain, and that's why she saw you as having so much potential. So she saw, in terms of, you were living the lifestyle already. And do you know what I mean? And I think that's why people believe in you. And before we even started the interview, we were having a talk about how much repeat business you get as well, don't we? You know, that kind of thing. And it's probably because people can really, when you're explaining to people, like we're going to do in this interview, they really like get a sense of, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. I reckon that will work kind of situation. I mean, you must have compliments. Yes or no?
Yes. And as you said, you've got to be modest, I won't.
Don't be modest. I
get a lot of compliments, and I get told that, oh, you know, your voice is really calming, or, and as you asked before, you know, it's like getting the repeat business. You know, there's a company, I've had a law company recently kind of thought, do one for us in July. And I said, okay, did one for them in July. And then I didn't hear from them for about a month. And I thought, I'm not sure. I heard that, yeah, it was really good. People really enjoyed it. And then the next thing I knew was, can we book you in for 6 sessions, 1 every fortnight for our employees? And they get a really good turnout at the sessions because people are finding, you know, that they're able to stop. They're able to just put what I say into practice quite easily as well. And yeah, I think that was, I have my Reiki master lives around the corner from me, and she teaches mindfulness. But she said to me, you live and breathe it, and your method of what you've put together is evidence of that. And so I really take that on board, because if she can say that to me, you know, that's another place that I've got that feedback from.
Brilliant. For our listeners out there, let's break it down a little bit about what exactly is mindfulness. I think that'd be a good place to start.
I know people love, because it's you're supposed to be emptying your mind, but it's called mindfulness.
Oh, do you know what? Really?
I think there's a myth that when we meditate or when we become mindful that we empty our brain. But we think 60 to 80,000 thoughts a day.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. So we can't really empty the brain. But what we can do is really just a bit like traffic. You know, when we want to cross the road, we don't go and stand in the traffic, do we?
No.
We actually stand at the side of the road and watch it going by. So when we're sitting down to be mindful, whether it's for a minute or even meditate for a minute, what we're wanting to do is actually, that thought will come up, oh, I need to go to the shops to get milk, but just not go with it to the shops and buy the milk, but actually just observe it and just use your breath to come back to the moment now. The definition of mindfulness is about being in the present moment, accepting what is without judgment. And I think those last two phrases are really important. So you're being in the present moment, you're accepting what is. Sometimes when we're in the present moment, we may be noticing anxiety. We may notice we have a headache. We may feel calm. But what is important to know is that there is no right or wrong. Mm. Whatever is coming up, you want to accept that, and you don't want to judge it.
It's almost like you're kind of stepping away back from your thoughts and overviewing. Would that be right in a way?
Absolutely. You become a witness to your thoughts, Gavin.
Mm. And you're not embroiled in the kind of the, for example, if you've had a really hard day, for example, and you know, you want to kind of close that and leave that behind. And then, and you know, I'm sure you've heard this a lot of times, people find it very difficult to close and shut off at the 5 o'clock point and all the rest of it. It's almost like you kind of think, right, okay, the day was like this. We always do a bit of reflection anyway. Step away from it now. This is what was going on. And then, like we're going to talk about, there's techniques in terms of how to kind of deal with that, become more relaxed, and kind of leave it alone and kind of push it away, kind of, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and you know, we do in some ways, you know, sometimes when we're angry, we'll shut a door or we'll bang a door, but it's like, well, actually, let's not do it that way. How else can we do it? And the thing is, the more work you do around mindfulness, the more self-aware you become. So you're really becoming aware of what are those trigger points.
It sounds like I need it, because I've got no doors left in my place. They're all gone.
You and I are going to do something after this then, for sure.
Yeah, I think I need some techniques on how to deal with that. I mean, me personally, I do a bit of weights, bike riding, that kind of thing. But people have different techniques. And we'll talk about that, you know. I mean, I'm just going to it now. I mean, how can people use mindfulness to become more calm and reduce stress?
Okay. So really, it's about learning to stop. I call it having the courage to stop for a minute.
I get it. That's deeper than it sounds, isn't it? It sounds very straightforward, but it really isn't, isn't it?
It really does need courage, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It does. I mean,
so really, I say to people, find the courage to stop for a minute. And a bit like we have our financial bank balance, don't we? And we go to work in order to pay the mortgage, to get food on the table and everything else. And so the analogy I use is, so you've got your financial bank balance, and on the other side, you've got your emotional bank balance. And how can you top up that emotional bank balance regularly? Start with a minute at a time. And my urge to all of the listeners is, see if you can do 5 minutes a day.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And that sounds easy, doesn't it?
5 separate minutes a day. I make it even easier, Gavin.
Gosh, but you know, I know, just that 5 minutes in getting there, because you think, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that. Okay, let me try this 5 minutes. Oh, before I do that 5 minutes, I need to do this. And especially if you've got a family as well. I mean, it becomes really challenging, doesn't it, in a way?
Very much, especially with the way things are now. Mm. You know, where families people are working from home, perhaps together if you've got a partner. Do you have the space for doing that? How can you stop? And so maybe we can just do a little bit of it now.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yep. I'm all in. I need it, I think.
Okay. All I'm going to ask you to do is, you don't even need to close your eyes. All you've got to do is just focus on your breath as it is.
Just my breathing. Just think about me breathing.
Just think about your breathing. And I notice that you're leaning forward. So I'm going to ask you to just lean back a little bit. That's it. And then as we're sitting there, just become aware of your breath as it is. There's no need to change anything at all. As we said earlier, you become a witness to your breath. And if there's any thoughts coming in, just let them gently float away like clouds by coming back to that breath. Just noticing that breath. Witnessing that breath. And as you're noticing the breath, just allow those shoulders to drop just that little bit more and relax a little bit more. By still coming back to that breath as an anchor. Simply noticing that breath as it is. And letting any thoughts that may be coming in again, just let them gently float away like clouds by coming back to that breath. And just take a moment to give yourself a quick scan of the body and see how you're feeling.
Oh gosh, Kish, I think if I go any further, I'm going to end up falling asleep. You become very relaxed, don't you?
You do. And how simple is it?
I think it's your voice as well, though, Kish.
Okay.
You know what? You have got a very kind of calming... I noticed as we went through it, your voice became even more calming. And you know what I started doing? My breath became deeper because I became more aware of it.
Right.
And I was like really kind of, you know, and then obviously I dropped my shoulders and I was like, oh gosh, I'm becoming too relaxed. I can't be too relaxed with
an interview.
A radio show. We need to stop there, Kish. It's not going to go well for me otherwise. But you know what? It was really, really working well. For the listeners out there, I hope you do play this back. And what you do is, we'll listen on demand as well. Listen to what Kish was doing and do that again. Yeah, obviously, from at the point where I broke, I mean, don't break. You keep on going and keep on doing it, you know. And at the end, we're going to get Kish's details anyway, so you can get in contact with her if you need to ask me any advice or, you know, find out about her sessions and all the rest of it. But I could really see where you were going with that. And I started thinking about some of the stuff that was going on in the day. I work in local authority, and it can be very stressful, loads going on. And when you told me, Gavin, right, what you do now is you kind of let those thoughts go. I thought, yeah, okay, I'm going to do that. Because it's hard sometimes in letting go. We all have stressful lives, whether we're with the family or whether we're working, whatever's happened in the day, there's stuff going on. And you've got to do that quite a few times. I was feeling like, you know what, there's a lot of thoughts that you need to kind of put away to the side as I'm deep breathing deeply. Would that be right, Kish? I'm kind of going...
That would be right. But you know, we weren't even breathing deeply. We were simply just noticing the breath as it is.
And I became deeper in breath as well, which is... And I reckon if we'd continued that, you would have probably said to me at some point, okay, Gavin, now relax yourself even more and your arms and go into much deeper breaths, probably.
Yes, yeah.
And I'm sure there's a bit...
The example that I just shared with you now, Gavin, for example, if I said to you, where would you be able to just do that, focusing on your breath? Where would you be able to do that?
Oh, yeah, that would be... Do you mean during the middle of the day, for example?
Anytime, or... yeah. Where would you be able to do that? If you think about your kind of day.
Very difficult. Very good point. Because imagine you're in the house with other people as well. Because even if you're working from home, there might be other people in the household. Because they might be working from home as well. I'm alone, so it's fine. But then... And I'll be honest with you, even being alone, there's stuff going on. And I think to myself, let's say lunchtime, and I don't need to take a lunch break, but let's say I had to try and do that and come downstairs and do that. I swear I would not be relaxed enough to do that. Oh, maybe that's just my mindset. That's me being...
Yeah, I would think so, because actually it's like anything. It needs practice.
Yeah.
So I sometimes suggest to people that, you know, and the beauty of the breath, Gavin, is it's with us 24/7. We don't need to take anything with us to do this exercise.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like initially, like everything, you know, put a little reminder, maybe a post-it sticker that's on your laptop that says breathe.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, on the hallway or...
You know the Apple Watch? The Apple Watch has got that breathing app, hasn't it? I've seen it come up a few times.
I don't have an Apple Watch, but yes, I understand it has. Yes.
It has, because it comes up on my one. And I'll be honest with you, I'm usually talking about something, I'm doing something.
So you just turn it off.
Gosh, not again. And it has this little breathing thing come up, it vibrates. And I'm thinking, I am breathing. I don't need to have a reminder about breathing.
But you see the difference from when you're witnessing the breath to when you're breathing.
That's the reason why they've got the app on the phone. And I think it's because it links in with that meditation and relaxing and all the rest of it, you know. And from what we did there, I really got what you were saying about, you know, focus on your breathing. Think about your breathing and, you know, that kind of thing. And also, you feel a bit more at one with yourself. When I was doing that and I was focusing more, and you were telling me, Gavin, you know, think about your breathing. And, you know, and I started breathing deeply and deeply as we were going through it. And... You become more centered and here at the present moment. That's what I was feeling. And it goes back to what you were saying at the beginning of our conversation in this interview. You know, mindfulness is about being trying to be as best you can at the moment in time, but then at the same time trying to relax more, which is obviously the more challenging.
And actually, if you look at our anxiety is either in the future or it's in the past. It's very rarely in the moment.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, I know with the pandemic, there's been some horrible times, and I'm sure you've spoken to many people around that period. Have you, what was happening like in April, May? What kind of discussions were you having with some of your clients around that period?
Yeah, people were panicking. You know, they didn't know. It's there's so much uncertainty going on. And I talk about what is called VUCA times. So V stands for volatile, U for uncertain, C for complex, and A for ambiguous. And that is a term that was coined by the U.S. Army. And what they found that in VUCA times, the people that can manage the best are the ones who adapt. And how do you become somebody who adapts is because you're much more self-aware of your trigger points. And so I was really, when I've had clients, I discuss that with clients and say, okay, so because as we know in lockdown, we're not having to adapt on a weekly or monthly basis. It's I said to somebody the other day, we're calibrating several times a day, really. Because we just don't know. It's so uncertain, you know. For say people have got kids at school, this time around the kids are allowed at school, aren't they? Mm. But on the other hand, we've all heard the stories of, oh gosh, somebody in my kid's class tested positive, so now they're having to isolate for 14 days. God. You know, so there's all of this going on. The uncertainty is going on all the time. And so really, if we, back to that emotional bank balance, Gavin, that I was talking about, if we can top up that emotional bank balance every day, say 5 minutes a day, then when that stuff, you know, when those challenges hit us, which all of us are hit with, we're that much more stable to manage it.
I think it's a really good way of explaining
it. Stability is there, yeah.
The emotional bank balance. I think when you said that to me earlier on, I was like, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, in terms of, and I think all of us are a bit guilty of this. We don't sometimes, we're a bit drained out in that sense, you know, we're kind of depleted. And because we're so kind of worried, and understandably, we're worried about what's going on, you know, employment, you know, and all the rest of it and anything else, you know. Did you ever talk to anyone that was really having some really difficult times in coping with their mental health at all?
Yeah, I'd say there were. I mean, there's one of my clients, and I remember when I started with him, excuse me, and he's got a big team of people, and it was like the first session we spoke at, and I said, okay, so how are you feeling? And we Brits can relate to this. And he says, you know me, I'm your typical Brit, you know. And I said, what does that mean? And he was like, I'm emotionally constipated.
Oh, right, okay. That's a different way of putting it.
Isn't it just a different way of putting
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
We've been taught not to show emotions.
Be reserved.
And of course, thank God, because we're now speaking so much more about mental health, that awareness is still there, but it's still a taboo subject.
It is. And I think I was talking about this.
And how many of us actually will say, actually, yesterday I had a breakdown, or I was in a flood of tears? Not many of us.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, I hear that a lot, to be honest with you. How did you help him get through that moment and when you have a discussion?
It was interesting because as we worked our way through the sessions, you know, and I would just ask him about, you know, what was going on or getting to do a little bit of this breathing and whatever. And it was by about the third or the fourth session, I think, I said, you know, he said, oh, I've got a one of my team members is in South Africa. You know, she's a single parent, stuck in a flat with two kids, really struggling, coping with lockdown. I have another member of my staff that's in Korea. Korea was really strict with their rules as well. So that person was struggling with that. And I said, well, and so how are you doing now? And he said, well, I've learned about what it's like to be vulnerable. Mm. And it's okay to be vulnerable. And he said, as a result of being vulnerable, I'm learning to be more resilient. So that goes back to that emotional bank balance, because the more we're used to putting into it and the more we're used to being open with people, and it's okay not to be okay. You know, we've heard that phrase, but how many of us put that in practice?
It is so difficult. I often talk on the show, it comes up a lot, actually, how people, and especially men, if I'm going to be honest with you, how we find it difficult to talk about our vulnerabilities, emotions, because, you know, we're seen as, you know, take charge, we, you know, man up, that kind of situation. And absolutely, look, I'm sure we all do that. But every man has their point where they have to kind of, they feel a bit, you know, low, a bit down or whatever it might be. And they need to seek some kind of, you know, support, maybe whether it's their families or friends or people outside and that kind of thing, you know?
And if something like what I'm sharing can help you change, and that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you, because it's been termed like this, oh, you only go to a counselor if, and not, I'm not a counselor, but you know, you only go and seek that help, and that seeking help is a weakness. It's not, in fact, it's a strength.
Being honest with ourselves.
Yeah. And we really need to tell them, you know, we've been taught from young, men don't cry, girls cry. You know, it's all that stuff. Mm. And it's changing, thank goodness. You know, we've got so many people who are, I mean, even the princes, Harry and William were speaking about, you know, emotions and all of that. And we've got so many celebrities, you know, that are speaking about various things that, you know, and that's really lovely to see. You know, because when you look at a great sportsman who's talking about, you know, I was listening the other day, Freddie Flintoff talking about his challenge was bulimia. I can't say the word correct, but, you know. Yeah. And that was such, it was so lovely to hear that story because, you know, it gives hope to so many people that, gosh, here he is, you know, was a captain of the England cricket team. You know, he now does, what do you call it? I never remember that car program, but he does...
Top Gear.
Top Gear.
Yeah, Top Gear.
and yet he spoke about his vulnerability and how he had to cope with it.
Absolutely.
And the more it's thank goodness it's opening. But you know, I'm sure that if you look, I'm just on the top of my head. If there's a couple and they're struggling at the moment in lockdown, and if say we, because you said men struggle more, the man's really not being able to cope. Actually, if he just opened up to his partner and said, you know what, I'm feeling really horrible, I'm really feeling down, and I really need some, that opens up for a conversation rather than him being in a mood and not responding to her.
And then, but you know what it is as well, Keish, it's that male ego, isn't it? I mean, let's be honest, right? We're not the greatest when it comes to managing the ego. I've spoken to that a few times.
I know, but everything...
And you are right. Yeah.
Everything can happen with a bit of practice.
Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. I totally agree with what you're saying. And I think, I shouldn't just say men. I mean, we've all got an ego and, you know, we can all be.
All of us.
Yeah. We, you know, men and women, we're all guilty sometimes of, you know, turning on the old ego and all the rest of it. But it doesn't really help anybody. And it's about having a healthy ego, you know. And your role, you did mention it. And when you were talking about, I thought, you know what, it kind of cross roles with a counsellor because you're doing a lot of listening, you know?
Yes. And so I think what's common ground is listening skills are really important because sometimes all people need is for you to listen to them, you know?
Absolutely.
And it's being present. So you're really with them when in that space, there is nothing else going on. You're not judging when you're coaching or when I do the mindfulness. You know, we're not judging that person at all. We're just accepting what they're telling us. Mm. It's not about advice. It's not, and at the end of the day, people actually can find, as a coach, I feel that if I've done 6 sessions with somebody and then they may come back for another 6. But if they're working with me for about 2 years, I would think I haven't done my job because my job is to really get them to see their own kind of value and be flying away with that. And then they might come up for a top-up session once every so often or something, but it's not a dependency situation.
Yeah.
It's very much about putting that wind under their wings.
From all the people you've spoken to about whichever matter it might be, what do you think is about mindfulness that's really, really helped people progress? What is it that really hit home? Is there something specifically or anything like that?
I wouldn't say it's something specifically. I think there sometimes ends up being some, one would call side effects. So I had a lady who did I do a 6-week mindfulness course, which I do one-to-one or in groups. But this lady in particular, she, when we finished working and I asked her, so, you know, I always ask for feedback because, you know, it's good to hear good feedback, but it's also like, okay, is there anything I could have done differently or, you know, how could I change things? And she said to me, she says, since I've been doing the mindfulness with you, I've learned to say no to people.
Nice.
And that came as a surprise to me. Mm. And I said, oh, that's interesting. I wasn't expecting that. And she said, well, because I've become so self-aware. And so what I realize is actually when I'm at the school gates, if somebody says, will you do this? It's always me saying yes. And what I realized is that actually I'm wearing myself out. So it was lovely to see that through the awareness, her self-worth increased and she was able to say no.
It's almost like she found that her energy was being her energy was going in some directions where she felt kind of maybe possibly depleted. And that might have triggered to say, you know what, I just really need to actually not be involved as much as I am and kind of balance everything out, if you like.
Yeah, that really is the case. And then I've had a lady who was asked to find a mindfulness course by her neurologist. And she's a very seasoned meditator. She's done a lot of mindfulness and so on. And she just said that, you know, having done the 6 weeks course with me, she just felt she was looking, I was looking forward to every session with just such eagerness. And because the course has quite a variety, we do the breath, we do gratitude, we do writing as a reflective tool. We use creativity. I do some guided meditations during it. And then we do the 6 weeks, and then I do a 2 monthly follow-ups, a month later to see how people are going, and then a month again. So because I really want people to get this under their skin, and you know, she was just saying, I need more than 6 weeks. Can you create even more? Because I'm really, really enjoying this. And again, like I was explaining to you, that what I do in those sessions is I say, okay, so what tools do you already use? I mean, the breath, as we did in the exercise earlier,
yep.
I say to people, the breath is the foundation of this work. It's with us 24/7. If it's gone, so are we.
Yeah, in effect.
So you could use that breathing exercise that we did earlier, Gavin. We can do that anywhere.
Mm.
You know, at night when you're sleeping and the brain is like, oh, you know, as it does when we're going to bed.
You touched on creativity, sorry. I just want to go back to that for a moment before I forget about it, because I think it's really important. Because I've been hearing about this from other people as well. And you mentioned about drawing, is that right? And colouring?
Yeah.
Can you talk a bit more about that?
Drawing, I get people to listen to music.
Ah, that's a good one. That's a good one, yep.
Yeah, Gavin, we don't listen to music just for the sake of music anymore. We have it on in the background.
Mm.
Whereas if you just sit and listen to a piece of music, it actually, I'm no neuroscientist, but there is evidence that when we're using the creative side of the brain, we're actually balancing the brain.
Right.
And music actually balances the right and the left side of the brain.
It's helping the transmitters, is it? Is it neurotransmitters or something in the brain or something like that?
And what we've become very left-brained since the advent of computers and mobile phones.
Oh, right, okay.
Well, so that's creativity, Whereas if you see artists or people who are creative, writing music or, you know, they are in their own space, aren't they, when they're doing that?
Yeah, very isolated, yeah.
But they're working that side of the brain, and we need to be doing more of that. And I get people to draw things. And they'll go, well, I can't draw. And I said, oh, and that's an interesting one, because I wonder where that information came to you from. Maybe when you were a child, you know, you were told, oh, you can't draw. But I say, well, today you're taking the masterpiece home. You know, when you're 5 years old, you don't say, I can't draw. You lie on your tummy and you draw away, don't you?
You do. You know what? I did A-level arts years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I did A-level art years ago. And I was in my mid-20s, I started doing it again, a bit of painting and all the rest of it. And then I stopped. And I thought to myself, and it's like just recently, someone was talking to me about this kind of thing as well. And I thought, you know what? I've got to maybe do a bit more of that now, you know, get back a bit more into the drawing and that kind of thing, just for relaxation, nothing else, you know.
Absolutely. I'm going to hold you to that one.
Oh, gosh.
When are you starting?
You're going to get me email. You're going to email me, go get me. Have you done your painting? Have you drawing? I'll be like, oh, I'm guilty. Oh, I haven't done it, you know. But you're absolutely right. I hear so many different methods, and the music one was a good one. I think some of us do it subconsciously as well, don't we, with music? We put on some music. We just feel, oh, you know what? Just want to put some music on and, you know, we listen to it, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. And I think I've had people say, like, oh, I'd forgotten what it was like to just listen to music.
And that means really listen, not like you're doing something and you've got it in the background, but just really listening to the words or the instruments or whatever it might be. Exactly. And that kind of thing, you know. I like that point you made early on, that there was a neurologist that made a recommendation for someone to see a mindfulness coach.
Yes.
Now this is the part I don't know too much about. I've spoken to health professionals in the past. I've never heard them making recommendations, though. Do you get that quite a lot, health professionals?
No, it was it was the first time ever, actually. Right, and I happen to know her husband, so her husband recommended me. And she, in turn, took my details to give to her neurologist to say that, you know, you didn't pinpoint me in a certain direction, but here's one person that would be worth considering. So that was very nice for me.
I think it's really cool. How cool is that to have a neurologist, you know, recommend?
Absolutely.
You would have put that all across the social media there, Kish, you know? Promote those all services. Even neurologists want us. That kind of thing, you know? Now, apart from the pandemic and mental health and, you know, just generally pandemic and lockdown stuff, I know you help people in other areas as well. Now, what are the areas of, because we have many stresses in life. I mean, what are the scenarios that have been coming up where people will ask for your help?
Well, I do quite a lot of work around setting boundaries. I think we've kind of need to touch on that, especially with lockdown, because people are working from home. They're not really creating proper boundaries. The number of times I hear, I don't have a lunch break, I don't have a coffee break, and so I have been doing quite a lot of work around that. And also when we've had a lot of awareness days recently, like work-life balance or mental health awareness day. And I just say to people, you know, to really try and start on time, start at 9 o'clock, kind of do something that would equal to, you know, starting your day. Maybe it's a walk around the block. I don't know. Something that can just break that cycle of, oh, I'm from the bedroom. And some people are working in the bedroom, so they're from their sleeping space to a place of work, you know. So it's like trying to have something there. I had a really interesting one from a lady who's a lawyer, and she said the only space she can work in is on her kitchen table. And so what she's done is she has a chair for work and a chair for home. What? And she said it sounds like a small thing, but it actually makes a huge difference.
Right, okay.
Well, that is interesting. But I would urge people, take a lunch break. You know, nurture, caring for yourself is so important as part of this emotional bank balance that I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
So take a lunch break. You know, it won't take you more than 10, 15 minutes to eat.
I am so guilty of not taking a lunch break, Kish. I can't even explain to you. And I've been like that.
I've been holding it apart for a lot of things here.
I know. I think I'm learning more than anyone else here to try and relax. I think afterwards I'll be making the notes to help myself the most. But absolutely.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Candles and scents, do they help as well at all with relaxation?
I think they do. Some people like them, some don't. So I think it just depends.
Lighting as well? Lighting or anything like that?
Possibly.
No, probably not. I'm getting it all wrong here, aren't I? I thought, do you know what? I've just heard people say to me, this and that. And more than anything else, it's reading around it. People say how they relax, they put the lights a bit dim, maybe like some candles or some scents and that kind of thing.
So I was wondering whether... Have a nice bath.
Right, okay.
You know, yeah. And actually just getting out, physically getting out, you know, I mean, that's why we've been allowed to go out for our walks or meet up with a friend or whatever. Do that, you know, meet up with a friend and have a walk for half an hour. It does you a world of good, honestly.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Really breaking out, because what's happened, and also turn off your phone or turn... Turn off your email notifications if you've got that on.
You know what? You hit the nail on the head there. Like with social media, for example, I won't look at it. I'll just put it, I think, you know what? Maybe once or twice, I might have a quick look in the daytime sometimes. But I thought to myself, I don't really want to see too much because it's just more energy sometimes. Do you know what I mean? It's just...
Absolutely, yeah.
And even with the news is another thing that I'm guilty of.
No, the news...
It's...
No.
It's a bit of a no-no, isn't it, Kish? Always I'm really bad at that.
Always the negative starts. I think that's what... We get told how many deaths there have been of COVID, but we don't get told how many people have recovered.
Yes, that's a good point.
It would be really nice to hear how many people have recovered.
You know what? You're so right. The news, though, can be so negative, though, can't it? To just... And people like to see what's bad that's happening. We kind of, I think as humans, we're kind of drawn to that. Do you find that? I kind of find that.
Well, that's what they say, bad news sells papers, don't they?
Yeah, and that's why, yeah, absolutely. And it's not the best way for us to be, but we're always interested in a bad thing or bad situation or badness, if you like, you know.
And also, yeah, and so when you're touching on that, that's another thing that our listeners could do is just start a gratitude journal. Just think about three things you're grateful for.
That's a really good idea. Yeah.
Very simple, very easy to do.
That's a really good idea.
Doesn't need much time at all.
Just kind of offloading, just kind of writing down, you know, what happened in the day or whatever, or the week or whatever.
Well, also because I think in the Western world, what I say, and I quote this as myself saying it, is that we're emotionally poor and materially rich. So we take turning on the electricity, having running water, having...
Granted, aren't we?
For granted.
Absolutely. Do you know what? Funny enough, you say that. I was talking to someone, one of my mates the other day about this kind of thing. And, you know, how people in other countries don't have the same resources, unfortunately. And, you know, how lucky we are and that kind of thing, you know. Because in some countries you get curfews and times where... The lights will go out and things like that still.
They just have, yeah, lights go out and they don't know when it's coming back or they have what they call shed loading and certain nights it's in one area and then other nights it's in another area. So, yeah.
It's not ideal at all, you know. No. Now, you also do online courses via Zoom. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, so those are really, it's my, I do a 6-week course. And as I said earlier, it's week one is about the breath. And we use the breath we did a very simple example now, but there's a whole hour on the breath and its various forms. We do one on gratitude. We do one on mindful eating. We do writing as a reflective tool. And then we do creativity. And week six is when we bring it all together. And I work on that on a one-on-one or in groups around that.
Oh, so you can sometimes have groups of people in the same Zoom meeting working
absolutely
together.
And I also say to people that if they want to get a group of their own people together, then that's great too, because it might be that, you know, especially now if we're in lockdown, maybe you want to get together with 4 or 5 of your friends and do a mindfulness course together or something, you know.
Can you give us a quick example of how that works? So you've got a maybe it's a private sector business or whatever it might be. You've got a few people in the room and how it works. What would the structure be? What would you talk about? Just roughly, just to give us an idea.
Yeah, sure. And I think the first structure and the first agreement would be around confidentiality in that group.
Brilliant.
Because I always say I end up sharing things that I didn't realize I was going to share with. But it's also about the people in the group. They need to be feeling safe and comfortable to kind of really share stuff. So we have to have an agreement of confidentiality. We have an agreement of listening one person at a time, respecting each other. Really important because, you know, we touched on earlier, listening is such a key thing. And can you imagine when one person listens to you, but when you've got 5 or 10 people listening to you, it really amplifies your being held, you know, in a space. And then we would do like week one on the breath. For that group, I would be recording the calls as well. So if somebody misses the call, they can catch up on the recording. And in the breath, we would do just breathing as it is. We would be doing deep breathing, so releasing the breath and things like that as well. We would do breathing open-eyed, closed-eyed, And I do a guided meditation as well, where we scan the whole body. And the main, and I said earlier as well, the foundation is the breath. And then in week two, we will look at gratitude. We will look at various aspects of gratitude again. All of these sessions are an hour long. Week three, we look at mindful eating. We actually will do some eating. We will see how we can learn to stop at mealtimes for a minute at a time. My philosophy is about a minute.
Right, okay.
As I said earlier, it's courage to stop for a minute. So all you're wanting to do is top up that emotional bank balance. So, for example, if you stop to do two breaths in a day, you did your gratitude journal and you stopped at two meals, that's your 5 minutes done already.
Oh, okay, I get you. I get it. Yeah. That's a bit, that makes it a little bit more easy to think about in terms of the 5 minutes. Right, okay. Yeah.
And then writing is a creative tool. We don't use pen and paper anymore.
Yes.
So we use writing as a creative tool. And in that session, I ask questions. I get people to think about a challenge and then I ask them questions. And then you will see how things will unfold as a result of that. In the creativity one, we will do some drawing. We will listen to some music. So what we're doing is, and at the same time, I'm saying to people always, what are you already doing? How can you bring that into the space? How can you make that part of your 5 minutes? And I had a client who started with me on the 6-week mindfulness course. At the beginning of the course, I said, how many minutes can you stop for? She said, one a day. I can stop for 1 minute a day. I said, great. We can, if you're willing to stop for 1 minute a day, that's a starter. And by week three, she was doing 20 minutes a day.
Ah, that's brilliant. So she progressed basically.
Yes. So it's like everything. We're trying to reprogram those neuro, whatever we call them in the head.
The old neurotransmitters. Do you know what I think is brilliant about the Zoom sessions? Because we're all, and I think we all sometimes think we're more busy than we are sometimes. Sometimes some people are really busy. What's nice is that if they think to themselves, right, I've booked a session with Kish, whether it's one-to-one or as a group, I've got that slotted there for my relaxation time now. I think that works really well in terms of structure. And also, let's be honest, right, Kish, we're not all too disciplined, yeah? Some of us are like, oh, you know, oh, I've got to do that now. Oh, gosh, how am I going to fit that one? You know, I'll do it tomorrow. And tomorrow becomes the next day. Next day becomes next week. And then next week becomes next month. And then we don't do it. So basically, in terms of thinking, right, I've got this session booked in now. I've got that there, so I can do that then. I think it works out really well. And also, if people are not feeling confident on their own, they can do it as a group session with other people. So they're not kind of isolated and thinking, oh, it's just me doing this. Oh, I don't know about this, you know. Whereas if there's loads of people there, they think, right, I'm not alone. There's other people doing this as well.
And you know? Gavin, I think the important thing is to remember that it's interactive.
Mm.
So it's not prescriptive. It's not me just talking at you. It's about interaction. Because my belief is that we really learn from each other so much more than if we're kind of just being spoken to.
Totally, totally. We've run out of time, Kish, unfortunately.
Okay.
I've spoken too much, haven't I? No. You've been great. Thank you so much. I think it's been really helpful what you've told us today. Where can people find you if they want to book a session or just your social media or follow you? Where are you, Kish? Tell us.
Okay, so my website is www.leadyourlife.co.uk. And I'm on Instagram as Morthy Wisdom, MOTIWISDOM. And you could find me on Facebook or LinkedIn. But I'm sure if you do a search for my name, it's quite a unique name. So it's Kish, K-I-S-H, and the surname is Modasia. M-O-D-A-S-I-A, and that usually brings up my Instagram and the website and everything else. And I offer a complimentary 30-minute discovery session, and you can book that off my website. So if anybody's interested, there's no obligation to buy, but it's just a nice way to explore whether what you're thinking about is what I offer, and it also gives you a chance to think, is she my cup of tea? Because I have to admit, I may not be everyone's cup of tea, Gavin.
Yeah, I mean, that's human nature, isn't it? You know, some people
absolutely like
to work with people, some people don't. It is what it is. It's one of those situations, you know. But that's brilliant. Thank you so much, Kish.
Thank you very much.
And thank you to all our listeners. You know, you can find me at GavinJ417 on Instagram. Until next time, take care.